Okay. I want to title this message, Scriptures I Use Frequently. There are a few scriptures that I tend to use most often, and there's a reason that I do use them so much, and it's because I believe that they are keys to understanding the scriptures. They're keys that could help us in a walk with the Lord and in our relationship with Him. But I think it was Peter that said one time that he was going to repeat the present truths because it was good to hear them over and over. That's not the exact words he used, but paraphrase, DeBose paraphrasing, okay? But it is true. We need to hear over and over and over and over again. And even after hearing it many times, sometimes it does sink in. I know right at the beginning of the book of Revelation, it said, "Blessed is he who reads and hears the words of this prophecy." That has a very particular word there used for read, agnosiki. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it just right. But it means to reread. We need to read the scriptures, but we need to reread them. Not just read them again, but read it, and we get the history and the natural meaning easy enough, but to reread, to get the meaning underneath the scriptures, that hidden lifeline of Christ that is in there, that can be very, very hard to find. And so we're going to look at a few scriptures here. The first one's in Luke 24, verses 44 and 45. Like I said, I've used this over and over and over. So if you've been reading my messages or listening to the audios, you've probably heard these before. But it's good to hear them again. It seems to be that most people have difficulty hearing. So these are very, very important. 44 and 45, this is right at the end of Jesus' ministry, before he ascends, and he's talking to his disciples. And he said to them, "These are the words which I spake unto you." In other words, all during my ministry, I've been talking to you. You see, the main purpose Jesus had was not just healing the leper and raising the dead and the miracles he did, but he was ministering to these disciples because they would have the job. They would have his job after he ascended. And he's saying, "These are the words which I spake unto you." So he's going to, in a way here, repeat or to give them what he had been giving to them the whole time. So he's kind of saying the same thing to them that I was saying to you. We need to hear it again. So Jesus is saying it again. He says, "All things must be fulfilled." You might want to draw a little circle around all. All things must be fulfilled. Everything that's in this Bible must have a fulfillment. And it's important that we understand that it's fulfilled on different levels or different planes. There's a historical fulfillment, and the majority of everything that's in this Bible has had an historical fulfillment. But there's also to be spiritual fulfillments. And I'm sure that anyone that has done any study much at all in the scriptures have had times when they've received spiritual truths, understanding from the scriptures, and then at a later date, after their lives have changed somewhat, they go back over the same scriptures and they find something new and something different. So there's a fulfillment on many, many different planes. And he said, all things must be fulfilled. There's not to be anything left out that's not fulfilled. And then he says, things that were written in the law of Moses, that's the Pentateuch, first five books of the Bible, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. In other words, Jesus is saying, everything that is written in the Old Testament concerning me has to be fulfilled. And of course, when he said this, there wasn't a New Testament yet. And then the next verse, 45, says, he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. So everything has to be fulfilled. But it can't be fulfilled unless you understand it. And you're not going to understand the scriptures unless he opens your understanding. There are scriptures placed here and there throughout the Bible to indicate to us that the Bible must be understood spiritually because it's written in a mystical way. Jesus very often, for example, after he gave a parable, would say, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, we all have ears, but we don't all have the ability to hear. In other words, the ability to understand. So what Jesus is saying, if you have the ability to hear what's being said, then hear it. God is speaking to us from his world in these scriptures. But the Bible is written in the words of man and the thoughts of man. And God has to get across to us his thoughts. And we're going to read about that in Isaiah in a few minutes. So while we're reading with our own mind of man, and we're reading the thoughts and words of man, yet somehow we've got to be able to see the thing that God is speaking from his world. And it's not always the same thing. The words of God are in a mystery. And I would recommend to anyone, get your Strong's Concordance, look up the word mystery, and every scripture in the New Testament that has the word mystery, look it up, read them, and meditate on them. It's not many, so it's not hard to do. But you need to do that because you need to understand it. Everything in this Bible is a mystery. It's hidden in plain sight. And we're going to have a special ability to be able to understand the scriptures. And that's why Jesus opened up the understanding of the disciples so they could understand it. And I can't help but believe that if it was necessary for James and John and Peter and Thomas and Bartholomew and all the rest of those 12 disciples for Jesus to open their understanding, that it just possibly could be important for him to open ours too. You reckon?
Reckon.
Verse 39 through 47 of the 5th chapter of John. Jesus is saying basically the same thing here that we read in Luke. However, this time he's not talking to his disciples. He's talking to the Pharisees. Now the Pharisees are the religious elite among the Jews. They were the ones that could explain to you exactly what the Bible is saying. It's amazing. They could explain it, but they didn't understand it. Beginning with verse 39, Jesus says, you search the scriptures. And they did. Meticulously, they studied and searched the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. See? And what scriptures did they have? They had the Old Testament, the books of Moses, the prophets, the Psalms, all of the Old Testament. He said, you search these scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life. And he says, they are they which testify of me. But you will not come to me that you might have life. Now, understand what he's saying there. You search the scriptures, but you won't come to me. They were standing right there in front of him. You're not coming to him in the scripture. You understand what I'm saying? There has to be a coming to the Lord. Now, we talk a lot about the Lord coming to us, but there's a responsibility that we have of coming to him. He is in these scriptures, both Old and New Testament, but you're not going to be able to understand the words that are there unless you can come to him. Now, if you remember, right at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, it says Jesus went up into the mountain. And then it says that he sat down and his disciples came unto him. They came unto him. Now, there was a vast multitude there, but it was only the disciples that came to him. And I don't mean that they walked up to him and sat down beside him. They came to him in the sense that they opened their heart, had their ears ready to hear, the ears of their spirit, you see. There's a coming to the Lord that has to take place. And so Jesus tells these Pharisees, you search the scriptures because you think in them is eternal life. He said, and they testify me, but you will not come to me. The me that is in these scriptures, you won't come to me. And then in the next verse, that you won't do this that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. See, that's the prerequisite. If you love God, it makes it a whole lot easier. It makes it possible that you can come to him in the scriptures. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that comes from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my word? Now, these Pharisees, like I said, they studied the scriptures meticulously, and according to them, they believed the writings of Moses very much. They believed it. They would say, I believe it happened just like Moses said. I believe everything he said is true. But they weren't really hearing what Moses was saying, you see. And he said, if you really believed Moses, you would believe me. But because you don't believe me, you don't believe Moses either, even though you think you do. Let's stop here. We've covered two passages of Scripture, one from the 24th chapter of Luke and one from the 5th chapter of John. We said some things, I think, that need to sink in. So I'd like for everyone to hear this and to hear it several times over and let it sink in. Then we'll go to the other passages that I'm thinking about. So we'll have scriptures I use frequently, number two, okay, later. But let me reiterate this thing. We have to know how to come to him in the scriptures. We have to be able to read the scriptures and to hear what the Lord is saying and hear the words from his world. This is an important key to knowing the Lord, walking with him.